You are listening to a teaching from Jeff Johns, Senior Pastor of Whitehorse Christian Center. For more information, visit our website at whcc.net.
Thank you. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, hold them up. If not, hold your phone up or your iPad or whatever it is you're using. Those portable Bibles are handy as long as your battery keeps going. Praise the Lord. Turn around and tell somebody there are miracles in the house. We welcome you today. And we say, Holy Spirit, come. And we love you and praise you. And we ask you to teach us, Lord, and equip us to be a light on the hill. That we would give you glory and honor in the things we do and the things we say. And everyone say it. Amen. Well, let's just make a few confessions together here. I'm a soul winner. I'm anointed. Equipped with power, wherever I walk, it's blessed. Whatever I touch, it is blessed. Lord, I pray my words are yours and yours are mine as we minister the word today in Jesus' name. Well, I understand last Sunday, Pastor Gary got to preach on Sunday morning, right? Yeah, and he had a wonderful time, yes? First time he was back at the lectern for a while. Thank you, Pastor Gary, for an excellent job. And the Lord bless him and continue to heal him and strengthen him. Don't forget to pray for us now. There aren't as many people signed up on those bullets, on those clipboards as we'd like. I need your prayers. Say together, our pastors need our prayers. Paul said as he wrote the epistle several times, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. We're out here on the front line. We wear targets on our shirt. It says, shoot if you want. Miss every chance you get. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're strong in the Lord? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The anointing breaks the yokes and sets people free. Thank God for His anointing. Title of the message is today, The Power of a Soft Answer. The Power of a Soft Answer. Going back to Proverbs chapter 15 and eventually moving this text into a theme of the importance of wisdom today. And I know I've ministered some on wisdom in the past. It's a little different approach. But the same source. The body of Christ needs wisdom today. And in light of some of the prophetic words, I'd like to say, first of all, that God wants to free us from having fear of making decisions. A fear of making a bad decision again. There's not a person here in this room that has not made a few bad decisions yesterday. Let alone over a lifetime. But the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy wants to cripple us from making decisions and moving forward to rob you of confidence and faith. Confidence in the Lord and faith that comes from God to do the things God has called you to do. And so be encouraged and be strengthened and do not be afraid to make decisions. Praise the Lord. I want you to say this with me. I'm a good decision maker. I've seen over the years, and so have you, people we love and care for. Sometimes people we're related to, sometimes family, sometimes people we just know in the Lord and have grown close to and love them in the Lord. It hurts when people make a bad decision. And we know that a bad decision can cost you a lot of time and a lot of money. Likewise, a good decision can save you a lot of money and save you a lot of time and bless you in many ways. God wants to open our eyes so when we see a glass, we don't see it half empty. We see it half full. That we actually are more optimistic in the things that God is doing in our lives. And when we have an empty glass, we don't focus on an empty glass. We simply focus on going and filling it. I've never seen anyone in their own home with a faucet and a refrigerator stand there with an empty glass and cry because they don't have a full glass. They just go fill it. They use the faucet. They use the refrigerator door. They get something inside the refrigerator, fill it right up, and go on as if nothing happened. That's the way the Lord would have us to be in Him. Let's say it's together. Lord, give us wisdom. So I want to read a few verses, and I think I'll be done in about 30 minutes or so, and we'll open up the altars today. Whatever you're afraid of, whatever is causing you some fear, maybe causing you some tears, The Lord is here to lift that today. Your future may be changing. You may have some unknowns. All our futures are changing, actually, and we all have some unknowns, but God is able. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge properly aright, but the mouth of a fool pours out foolishness. We live in a world now that is full of anger. We've asked our intercessors, and if you come join us, please, April the 10th, for a great corporate night of prayer as we pray for our nation, our leaders, in terms of a nation, state, and local. You'll find out, if you watch much news at all, and which I don't, but I'm amazed as I watch it. I'm amazed when I'm in public places and people are trying to talk about something, the way the spirit of anger rises up with harsh words. And our intercessors have been praying that that anger, that spirit of anger, would be bound in its expression in words and actions. The church needs wisdom. The church needs a soft answer. The church needs to have the tongue of the wise to change the environment and change the situation. So our prayer is, Lord, give us wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. Daniel 2, verse 20 says, blessed be the name of God, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And all the church said, amen. Wisdom, by a little bit longer definition here, slightly different than some I've written in the past, but is the ability to judge correctly and follow the best course of action from knowledge, understanding, and experience based on God's Word as we're led by the Holy Spirit. That's wisdom. Reach up there and grab a hold of some of it. God wants to give it to us every day, all day long. Young people, did you know that your decisions will affect the life and the heart of your mother? Young people, did you know that your decisions will affect the life and the heart of your church family? That we want to see the very best for you, and we want to see you prosper and reach your purposes in the Lord. And when bad decisions are made and you suffer from it, we all suffer from it because we're one in Christ and we're connected with ligaments of love. You could simply say that wisdom is the ability to make good decisions based on the Word of God as we're led by the Holy Spirit. True wisdom is consistent with the themes of truth in the Bible. True wisdom is especially related to two major themes that we find in the Bible over and over and over. One is this. Let's say this together. Reverence for God. Fear of the Lord. I'll explain that in a moment a little more. Number two, main theme in the Bible is respect for all people everywhere. If I want to walk in wisdom, there are two areas covered over and over and over in the Bible, many of them, but one of them is in the area where wisdom begins, in a fear of God, and number two, a respect for all people everywhere, men, women, children, other ethnic groups, other nations. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, fear means to have a reverence for God, a recognition of God that leads you to submit to God. So when I begin to recognize God and believe in God and trust in the Lord, I have a reverence for Him and recognize that I want to submit to Him. I want to yield to everything He wants me to do. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's where godly wisdom begins in our lives. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There are many people with a lot of knowledge and a lot of intellect, but they have no wisdom. And God wants to give the church wisdom. And that wisdom will lead to a knowledge that can be beneficial for all our lives in every area. Bear with me just a moment as I point out some negative things around us in the world. And Jesus said, you're either part of the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the world. And the Spirit of the world has a history and demonstrates, I just wrote down five things. One thing history has demonstrated for us in the Spirit of the world is that life can be hard for Jews, and life can be hard at times and places for Christians. World history related to the Spirit of the world tells us that slavery is commonplace, always has been, and still is. There are forms of slavery now in every county in America. The Spirit of the World teaches us and showed us and demonstrates for us historically that tyranny is a norm of rule. History of the Spirit of the World has shown us that the state of women has always been viewed at best second class and usually much worse. The Spirit of the World has demonstrated for us that children's lives have always experienced suffering and a lot of pain. Not in every case, but throughout the world in various situations, all these things are true today. I really enjoy reading a magazine called Voice of Martyrs. If you've never taken it, I encourage you to get it and read it. As soon as I get it in my hand, I try to make it a point to quit everything I'm doing at the moment and read through it. As a reminder of our brothers and sisters in the Lord in dozens and dozens of nations throughout the world that suffer persecution and martyrdom and imprisonment. It would be easy to look at many of the blessings in our lives and forget some of the things around us. And so when we see the spirit of anger manifesting itself, to not understand why. But people are fearful and people are afraid and people are angry and people are upset. And these are only a few things they're upset about. And so communicating in love with God's wisdom, with a soft answer, is going to bring a lot of healing and solve a lot of problems. And the church needs wisdom, I believe, greater than we have ever needed wisdom in the past. A simple question for us to ask as we're going to be making decisions all week long, is this wise? Is this wise? To look down the road and just measure some of the consequences of one bad decision, one decision of sin, who will it affect? It could affect your entire life. It could affect your marriage. It could affect your children's lives. Your marriage, your covenant with your spouse and your children's lives are worth the battle. The battle of walking together successfully in the love of God and the joy of the Lord. Wisdom prevailing over our lives. I tell people, listen, when temptation comes, you need to run and run fast. That means a lot of times you don't even have time to put your shoes back on. You need to be aware of where you're sleeping, folks. When you sleep really close to the front lines in war, you sleep with your shoes on. You sleep with your boots on. And when it's time to run, it's time to run. And when it's time to run, when is the time to run? Is when a decision is borderlining something that is not wise. Run. Look down the road. Look at the consequences. And if nothing else, fall on your face before the Lord. That's running. You're running from the temptation right into God's presence. And let the Lord minister to us and let the Lord give us wisdom. I'm telling you, folks, it's time to break some cycles. It's time to break some patterns that are not of God. It's time to put an end to things coming back around in our lives full circle that are not of the Lord. So it only allows the things of God to come back into our lives and the word of the Lord to come back into our lives by breaking patterns and breaking cycles and breaking patterns. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We break down the golden rule to simply say, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. How many of you remember learning that in Sunday school? How many of you remember the day when they used to actually teach that in the public schools? Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And thus we fall back into two patterns of wisdom in the Bible. to reverence God, to have a fear of the Lord, and number two, to value, respect, and honor one another. All mankind. Treat people like you would want to be treated. I want to encourage you today. I spent a lot of time in prayer last night. And though yesterday was a very fulfilling day, it was a bit of a challenge for me in some ways. Certainly not complaining, just stating the facts and contributing to a little stiffness and a little soreness this morning. And I just felt encouraged of the Lord to pray through the night and to encourage you this morning, let's never take one another for granted. Enjoy every moment of every day. Love one another and bless one another and speak well of one another. Time passes too fast. I was visiting with a young man that I highly respect. He lives quite some ways from here. He has a call in his life. He's a worship leader. I believe one day he will eventually become a pastor. He sent me a recording of a song. And this young man has done quite well within the dynamics of his type of music, country music. And he sang at the Grand Ole Opry, and he sang a song that he wrote for the first time. And the name of it, if I remember right, is Just Five More Minutes. I'd like for you to say it with me, Just Five More Minutes. It's a bit of a ballad, and the verses of the song are in relationship to some of the events in life. And where you'd yell back to mom, she'd say, dinner's ready, and you'd say, just five more minutes. You remember that? That didn't go well at my house. Mom called once and rang that bell, you better come a running, come fast, or your life might only be five more minutes. Just five more minutes. And this young man wrote this song right after his grandfather passed at age 86. I'm guessing he was in his mid-20s at best when I watched that recording of him singing that song. Just five more minutes. Just five more minutes. God would have us to live in his peace, in pleasantness and in blessing, enjoying all day, enjoying the journey all day. I enjoy working, and I know you do too. I like to stay on the task and do a good job for my employer. Always did. I tend to be goal-oriented and project-oriented by nature in gift sets that the Lord, and each one of you have strengths and gift sets, and therefore each one of us in our own strengths also have weaknesses. But a lot of times I find myself just making myself slow down, enjoy the moment, enjoy the time with the people that are there to work with to accomplish the goal. And so I want to encourage you today, we not only want to treat people like we want to be treated, because we will reap what we sow, but even better, Matthew 25, is to treat other people the way the Lord would have you to treat them. And Jesus said, as you've done to the least of these, not that anyone is more important than anyone else, but meaning unto those that can never pay you back, you've done it unto them because you love them. You've done it unto them because you care for them. You have done it unto me. Wisdom is the path to follow. Wisdom helps us to live in peace with the people that we interact on a daily basis with. I was with a young man the other day, and we needed to purchase some things for a project. And we had driven quite a little ways to get there. And for whatever reasons, when we arrived, there weren't very many people anxious to just get up and go to work and help us. And when one young man finally did, and I don't know what took place in his day, I don't know what may have happened right before he arrived, but he was certainly not knowledgeable. And he certainly didn't appear to be interested in being knowledgeable. Now turn around and tell somebody, I know myself pretty well. So I left. I got in the truck, started it up. Pretty soon a young man came out there looking at me kind of strange, like, We weren't done looking. And I said, I was done looking. I know myself. It's best for me to leave. So I drove off. Somebody tells somebody, that's wise. You think I'm going to change their policy? You think I'm going to change their heart? No. I'm just going to drive off. Better to drive off than have to go back and ask everybody in the whole place to forgive you. You can be 100% right and 100% wrong in your delivery and attitude. Let's just reach up and grab a hold of a little bit of wisdom there. So I said to this young man, I've learned. You could have stayed in there as long as you wanted. I might have left you, but. He said, yeah, I turned around, you were gone. He said, are we leaving? Yeah, we're leaving right now. Praise the Lord. How many of you know God wants to give us wisdom to change environments and circumstances? It's best sometimes to say thank you and just leave. Proverbs chapter 3, I want to go to verse 13 through 18. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. I want to encourage you to read this later for your own devotions. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Now, folks, if you want to grow in God, you need to have your own personal devotion, your time to read the Word, and your time to pray. You need to do that several minutes in a day and maintain an attitude of prayer all through the day. I recommend every believer spend at least 30 minutes a day in prayer and spend time reading the Word and meditate and think about the Word of God. You will grow if you do that. If you're married, you should talk about the Word together and pray together. If you have children, you should have a devotion together and pray with your children together. Children that are at home. You should find a place to fellowship, a local church. This is my church family. You should learn to be a worshiper. You should build relationship with people of like interests and common interests. You should be hospitable and neighborly to those you live around and open up your home occasionally for people to come in. You should serve others when you can and be a blessing to them. These are factors that are healthy. In your local church, you need to participate in what ministries and activities you can, when you can. You need to take on some responsibilities, commitment, and be responsible. It is out of these things, these qualities, these characteristics, that we grow and that ministry doors open for us. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the gain of it, wisdom, is better than the profit of silver and the gain of fine gold. It's hard for us to comprehend the value of wisdom, but the Bible gives us a picture, a foundational picture of what all currencies in every nation are built upon, silver and gold. And the Word says that wisdom from God is more valuable than all of the bases and foundations of currency in all these nations. Wisdom will far exceed that. I preached at a conference one time. There were 40 authors there. And one of the authors, a very godly man, he said, Pastor, you should turn your material into books. And I said, I will some of it someday, but it's not my primary call. My primary call is pastoring. In addition to that, pastoring is apostolic work and ministry built in relationship to the anointing, call, and vision on this house. And the outreach of apostolic ministry can only go as far as the strength of a house, the strength of a local church, and or the strength of your temple, your body. Those are my primary calls, at least for now. They may change one day. And he said, Pastor, don't you know that these people are going to take your product and write books? I said, that's fine. Bless them. There's more where that came from. Yeah, hold up an everlasting supply of wisdom, illumination, a revelation that'll change your life. We'll never exhaust it. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12 are the verses related to Solomon and his prayer requests and God blessing him with wisdom because he had a heart to lead the people at that time in his life, and God blessed him with wisdom. And in there you'll see that the Bible says he was the wisest man at the time, the wisest man before that time, and the wisest after. Until Jesus. I ministered not too long ago. You know, it's easy to sit here and listen and go home and do nothing. It's easy for all of us. It's easy to enjoy an incredible presence of the Lord and to worship and participate in it and to listen but go home and not change. It may seem easy short term, but it's not easy long term. And though it may seem easy, it really isn't, because in refusing to change, you're actually holding your hand up to God. I preached a message not too long ago. The wisest man in the world made an appeal through the Word of God under inspiration of the Holy Spirit and penned for us the value of receiving godly counsel and getting wisdom from others. Godly wisdom means people that have demonstrated a relationship with God, a knowledge of the Word, experience in areas you need help in, praise the Lord, and are led by the Spirit. Whether you realize it or not, there are people in your lives watching you, and they will refer to you later as someone that's very wise, or the opposite. But you will be known as the people that are wise. And they will determine that by the decisions you made. I want you to say this with me. I am very wise. And the wisest man in the world, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, encouraged us, it's wise to seek counsel. Proverbs also tells us, and I don't have the memory verse on the tip of my tongue, but you can look it up, that as we mature in age, wisdom comes with maturity in God. Brother Justin, would you stand up, please? Brother Justin's a little older than I am. He's an anointed man, he and his wife. He's a wise man. I listened to him talk about the Lord, and I've listened to his testimonies, and we've had opportunities to interact. He has come to me as a brother in the Lord and upon occasion as his pastor to share his thoughts with me or his decision-making process or the direction he may be moving, and he's asked me to pray for him several times, of which I took it to heart and prayed with him according to Mark 11:23 and others, that if any two of us should agree, stand in unity and based on covenant, saying the same things to one another's face as one another's back, that it moves mountains. We've seen a lot of miracles. Recently, I told the young adults that this house is full of wise people. If you're over 50, would you stand up, please? I said, this house is full of wisdom. Most of you I have pastored a long time. Many of you I've pastored for decades. Some of you I've pastored for over 30 years. Most of these people I know, and I told the young people, they walk in wisdom at different areas and topics. They have gone through a lot. Their marriages, by and large, have been for a length of time. Some have had spouses that gone home with the Lord and remarried later at appropriate time levels and frames. They have prospered. And in the 30 years that we've been here, their finances have increased. Their properties are paid for. Their net worth is of greater value. Their relationships are stronger. Their children are doing well. Hello? They are living testimony of wisdom in many, many areas. And you would be wise to just go introduce yourself to them. They've accomplished impossibilities. They've prospered facing incredible odds. They've stood against all kinds of storms, natural and spiritual, and survived. Some of them have risen above horrible sicknesses, diseases, cancer, and you name it. They're alive and well today. I reminded them that they would still need me to be around 20 or 30 years from now. If nothing else, to just connect them to relationships. And that just standing here, though I have not pinned your net worth, I know this in the spirit. Many of you will become multimillionaires in the next two decades. If you're younger than 50, say this with me. It'd be good to get to know those folks. Walk right up and say, "Would you take me out for dinner? And my wife and all our 9 kids. Can we come over?" You would be wise to ask. The asking is your job. The sharing is our job. Almost 100% when someone comes to me to tell me what they're going to do, I think to myself, this is going to be really interesting to watch. Almost 100%. And I'm thinking, while I may be smiling or laughing hilariously, if I'm laughing hilariously, your road is going to be hard. To myself, it could be a lot easier. Now, if you're standing and you could have done a few things in the past that would have been a lot easier, would you raise your hand? That means we learned the hard way. We didn't ask enough questions and learn enough on the way. You may be seated. Thank you. Let's thank the Lord for all those folks. Life is busy. There's a lot happening. But here's one idea. Wouldn't it be nice, Art, for all of us over 50 to just, I don't know, have dinner together sometime, just where we could talk and spend some time together? Josh, would you stand up? Browning. Brother Art, would you stand up? Now, Brother Josh is overseeing the men's ministry now. He's going to share a testimony right after Easter, and he'll be calling you men to invite you to come join us for our men's meetings 6-7 times a year. So Josh, you and Art can work together on a meal where we can all come together over 50 and just fellowship one evening and get to know each other a little better. Might be better for us, though, to meet on a Saturday afternoon. How's that sound? All in favor, say aye. You may be seated. And wouldn't it be nice Joshua, stand up since you're smiling behind that beard. Yeah, stand up. You too, Williams. I know you're not over what, 30? 30 what? 2. I was going to say I know you're not over 50, but I didn't want to embarrass you. How old are you, Josh?
25.
Wouldn't it be nice if you had an opportunity to maybe sit down at a meal at the same table with some of those folks, not just people of your same peer group? It's important in fellowship to have people of common interest in similar situations. But wisdom doesn't just sit there. I'm not correcting the two of you. Not at all. I appreciate your willingness to stand and be a participant. But you need to sit down with some of these folks more frequently to get the full benefits of wisdom that God wants you to operate in. Now, any of you men, I'm going to start with men, not as a bias. Any of you men been self-employed and in business? Would you stand? Okay, right now, Williams, I'm somewhat mathematical. It just is there. When I'm recovering from being under the influence of anesthetic, I do multiplication tables. When I'm sitting there and looking calm, my brain is 6 sevens are 42, 7 eights are 56, 9 nines are 81, 3 sevens are 21 times 2 is 42, times 2 is 84. It's just fun. I do it sometimes while I'm preaching. Right there's 100 million at least, minimum. Minimum. I'm just letting it soak for a little bit. Now, wouldn't that be a good dinner? Let me do a quick inventory here. You sit down and you sit down. You are in business for yourself, but sit down. Oh, you stay standing. You're my example. You stay standing. You stay standing. You're my young example. Now, there's not one man here. I'm starting a business. Can I have lunch with you? Do you mind buying my lunch? Be honest and upfront. You're starting a business. You don't have it. Ask him to take you out for lunch. Hello? Now be prepared, because for most of them, like if you ask Dan and I to take you out for lunch, that means you get half our peanut butter sandwich. And you can have half of my yogurt after I've eaten the top half. So you got to be ready, because most of us take a lunchbox. Okay, moving right along. You can all be seated. Would you just say this with me? I am surrounded by wisdom. Okay, I'm going to try to move on down the path here quickly. The body of Christ needs to be taking advantage of this anointing that is in our lives through Christ. You want to turn off my voice for a few minutes on live stream? That for the sake of people that should be here that aren't. You are surrounded with wisdom that has manifested in many different areas. I'm only speaking right there of one area. One. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn around and tell us about it. We need to learn how to think in terms of millions. Okay, I'll try to move ahead. The Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus. And Isaiah said, chapter 11, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of might, come on somebody, and the Spirit of knowledge, and everybody said, and more. Matthew 13, 54, and when he, Jesus, was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? The people around Jesus recognized the level of wisdom in this man was unlike any other. Luke 2:40, and the child Jesus, I pray this over your children when I dedicate their babies and when they're in your womb. And the child Jesus grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, filled with the grace of God. Praise the Lord. And everybody said, and favor was upon him. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and the favor of God with God and man. Luke 11:31. Jesus said to his disciples, and behold, greater than Solomon is here now, because the wisdom Jesus walked in is God's wisdom. Revelation 5:12, these heavenly hosts are singing and saying, declaring the loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessing and wisdom. There are many, many verses here, and there's a lot to be said today, but when you receive Christ, you not only receive redemption, you not only receive sanctification, you receive all of that and more. You receive everything I just read and more. You receive wisdom. Come on, somebody. You receive power. You receive righteousness. The righteousness you're clothed in right now, it's not your own. It's not of yourself. It's of the Lord. It's the righteousness of Christ. Can I hear an amen? The wisdom you have is not of your own. It is of the Lord. It's the wisdom of Christ. It's God's wisdom inside of you. You are not dumb. You are not foolish. You are not stupid. You do not have to keep making bad decisions. You have everything you need to do it right the first time. And for the world to line up and say, how did you do that? Where did you learn that? Where did that come from? And it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And all the church said, amen. It doesn't matter what sociologists or the world or anyone else related to the study of humanity has to say about any people group, whatever they're labeled. When you know Christ, you have righteousness. You have holiness. You have sanctification. And you have wisdom. And His wisdom will fill any void that we have in our lives. I never knew my dad, you may say. Well, you know your heavenly Father now through Christ. You got all kinds of wisdom. You've got God's wisdom in all kinds of areas and all kinds of avenues. And you could have had a lifetime of bad decisions, but if you change today, the fruitfulness of God, the way God multiplies and increases things, is phenomenal. Can I hear an amen? It doesn't mean you have to go down to zero and never start over. Those are lies. If you give worship team come back and help me for a few minutes, I'll try to close. I'm telling you, God wants to propel us out of fear and tradition and break it. Cycles that are not of God, aren't based on the Word, and see lives change. Families change. A very unassuming woman of God, while I was teaching on wisdom, she came up to me and sat beside me and Sister Bernita. She said, Pastor, may I sit here with you? And I need to talk to you. And tears flowing down her face. She said, Pastor, I inherited a large sum of money. Reach up and grab that and stop saying, I won't inherit anything. That is a lie. You may not know where you're going to inherit it from, but you have inheritances in Christ. Turn around and tell somebody, I need to know my Bible. I need to speak my Bible. I expect inheritance from areas where I know it's coming from. And that means that the system's not going to rob me and the generations behind me. And these systems that have been voted in are here to rob you of your resources, folks. I'm not going to vote for an inheritance robber. Man, it's quiet in here now. Most of them will rob you while you're alive and steal what you got when you're dead. Those are not good policies. Okay, well, while everybody's so shouting happy. Hello? You need an estate planner. A godly one that knows what they're doing and certified. Okay, that was a lot right there. You ought to leave something to the church. Better here than Uncle Sam. Bless Uncle Sam, bless our nation, but folks, I got news for you, you're a better steward than that. Hello? Well, we ought to be hearing some shouting going on about now. And I expect inheritances from sources I don't even know. Hello? Hello? Now, the Lord today, during our prophetic song, dealing with fear, He's wanting to shatter some lies. Praise the Lord. I tell my kids on a regular basis, you need to learn how to manage money. You're going to have a lot of it. I'm telling you, if you're less than 50, stand up. Hey, some of you folks need to come up here on the worship team, more than two. I'd like a little army if you don't mind. I'm preaching better than that. All right. First of all, let's thank the Lord for all these young people. You need to learn how to handle money. Manage money. Not just let it pass through one hand and out the other, but retain something and build something. Hello? Come on, say amen, Pastor. I'm listening. The young adults, earlier this month, I said, you ought to read a minimum of 1 hour a week, minimum, articles related to finance. 1 hour a week, minimum. 1 hour a week. There may be better, but just start with Money Magazine. Read that 1 hour a week. And at the end of the year, you've got 52 hours more education related to finances than you would have had. In 10 years, you have 520 hours of reading related to handling finances you would not have. I used to always say, well, I'm going to be 40 someday anyway. Might as well go ahead and get that diploma. I'm going to be 40 someday anyway. Might as well get that diploma. Yeah, but you know how long it's going to take? Well, I'm going to be 40 anyway. I might as well get that diploma. I'm going to be 40 one day anyway. I might as well, come on, learn that now. Don't let the enemy rob you of initiative. Come on, reach up and grab hold of some initiative. Get an idea and follow through until it's done. That's what that means. Get an idea and follow through until it's done. I was offered a job one time by the, at that time they were the largest privately owned company in the world. I think they're number two now. They offered me three jobs. You know what they tried to hire me for? What was they wanted to hire me for? Well, different things. But what they saw that they wanted to hire was initiative. They set up a test for it. Out of 580-some grad students in one school alone, and I wasn't even a grad student there, my professor insisted I come. They set up a false situation to see if anyone had initiative to challenge them. So I did. Nobody else did. I did. They had a man trained, set this whole thing up, and he turned the crowd on me, had them booing me and throwing stuff at me. I told him, well, you're a good persuader, but you're stupid. And you just led all these grad students in stupidity, and they're all smarter than you are. You know what he said? You're exactly right. He said, I can buy straight A doctorate degrees, a dime a dozen from one coast to the other, but I can't find initiative. This company hires me to find initiative. Turn around and tells me I'm getting anointing for initiative right now. What's that? Get an idea and follow through on it. Well, let's thank the Lord for all these young people. Let's all stand together if you would. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and shout a little bit. Glory, 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 glory. We're proud of you. I'd hate to think someone I pastored didn't have initiative, didn't know what commitment was or faithfulness. I'd hate to think somebody I pastored didn't have faith with no boundaries. I tell young people, I know a lot of you pretty well. I pray for you, I should know you. I tell young people, you ought to hang around this one, you ought to hang around that one. Right, Jason? You ought to spend some time with this guy. This guy can do this like no one else I ever saw. You ought to hang out with this guy. He can do this like no one else I ever saw. You two ought to go over there and sit down with this couple. Come on, turn around and tell somebody, I got a job to do. Due diligence is your job, not mine. You got a job to do. So remember I said, you know, you can hear it, but if you don't go leave here and apply it, it won't do you any good. Faith without action is dead. So I taught a message recently. The wisest man in the world said, you need godly wise counsel. And the wisest man in the world, Solomon, sought it. Now when you heard that message, turn around and tell somebody, I got to start knocking on some doors. I got to start making some phone calls. Here's, I think, one of the biggest lies you folks believe. They're too busy. Hello, this is one of the biggest lies you believe. They're too busy. Did they tell you that? No. Who told you that? Well, they're too busy for me. Where'd you hear that? I was riding along with someone the other day and said that to me, and I said, who told you that? Did I tell you that? No. Anybody that works with me tell you that? No. Don't ever say that to me again. Did I give you my phone number? Yes. Then don't believe a lie. They're too busy for me. Says who? Says who? I got to tell you, one of the things I've done recently that absolutely shocked me. Shocked me. I said something like this. I'm not sure if it's under the anointing or a moment of stupidity. I said something like this. You help me out here. I meant it. I remember when I preached it. I said, I'm interested in what you do. My grandkids send me pictures all the time. I'm trying to turn this picture over and figure what it is they colored or created or drew. And they'll look at me like, oh, Grandpa, look like this. See, that's a bird. Oh, yeah, I see that now. People start texting me all kind of pictures of things they made. Walls, ceilings, houses, quilts, puzzles, paintings, artwork. They took me serious. I have 200 pictures of things that you've made. Did any of you receive a text back from me? Don't send me pictures anymore? No. You know, it takes me 3 to 4 hours in the morning just to deal with all my phone stuff. My wrist is telling me, change. So grab a hold of a lie. They're too busy. Throw it out. Yes, we're wise and we'll help set boundaries. Anybody here over 50, too busy to give advice to one of these young couples that come to you or one of these individuals? Anybody too busy? Not one hand up. I may not be able to do it before 6 o'clock tonight, or you may have to meet me at 3 or 4 in the morning. I work best at 3. Nobody in my family turns their phone on for me to get messages till after 6 or 7 in the morning. I send them at 3 in the morning a lot of times, and my family's like, quit texting me at 3 in the morning. I said, I'm not going to quit texting you at 3 in the morning ever. Don't tell me what to do. That electronic gadget can be rigged up somehow to not go beep with me till after 6. From what I know about a text, you can't save it anywhere. You can't put it on a timer for an hour later. I'm texting now. I'm praying now. I'm sending right now. You adjust your phone for however you want to hear it. Praise the Lord. So what's the Lord doing? Setting us free from lies. I often say to people, who told you that? Where'd you hear that? What's your evidence? I don't believe it. Say again, I don't believe it. Let's say this together. The journey's good. I was born and raised on a farm. I appreciate our agrarian community and culture. I have the highest respect for them. Most of them, though, are not very given to poetry. But my grandfather taught me when I was little that the Christians that survived at the greatest rate of success in Russia under communist rule when Christians were being martyred and murdered were poets. He said, you got to learn to say it without saying it. So I started taking poetry classes. You may find that hard to believe. It didn't come to me overnight. It took a lot of classes and a lot of work. The professor I had the most respect for and admired the most was a Jew. He owned a publishing company. He had me study a four-line poem, four lines, 117 revisions. And then we studied each revision. Tarantos, buddy, that's a journey. That's a journey. It's a master poem. One of the better ones in the world, apart from what's in here. So I'm going to close with that. I don't know if you got anything out of this today. I hope you did. I hope you got a boatload. I sure love you. I'm proud of you. I missed you. Thank you for being patient and helping and doing all that you're doing. Thanks to the pastoral staff. Some of our pastors are out on assignment today. But Pastor Gary's here and he's rested all morning, so I hope the line fills up. Keep him busy till we start again at 6. Pastor Eric will be back at 6 ready to go again, and then let him finish worship and get back on the line till midnight. After Pastor Gary gets done ministering to you, get up and get in line where he's going. Stay hungry. Say it together, stay hungry. Well, let's give God some praise. Let's close in prayer. We love you, Lord. Brother Don, would you step out in that aisle? Just step out in that aisle, Brother Don. Brother Don, step out in that aisle and just stand. Raise your hand real high. Kind of help me with this testimony a little bit. We're going to do it together. It's about your life. He was born and raised on a farm not far from where I live. His dad was a hardworking man. Died a little premature, yes. Heart attack. Left mom and the boys a pretty tough road to hoe, but they loved each other and worked hard together. Don went into agriculture. His dad wanted him to go to college. Going to college at that time seemed impossible. He was very good at what he did and enjoyed it, but he's tall and developed a bit of a back problem. I had a meeting with Don, as I remember it, in my office. Would you give a testimony at the next men's meeting about this? I said, Don, you need to quit what you're doing and go to college. He went something like that. It was in his heart to do it, and it took a lot of faith on his part and a lot of courage. He resigned from his job, and he went through college. What's your degree in, brother? Computer information technology. Did you get a B in college? Straight A student. Come on, raise your hand. Come on, folks. Straight A student. How old were we back in those days? Yeah. 18 years ago, you were almost 40. You started back at Purdue, straight A student in computer or whatever. And now he has a very high place of responsibility in the mathematics department, in the statistics area at Purdue. I may not have said all that right, but it was close, right? Close. Fear needs to come off to liberate you to skyrocket in what God has for you right now. And it is not the end of your world. It's the beginning of a whole new life and a whole new day. And you can do more than you think. You just have to apply yourself and let God give you the grace to do it. And wherever you got to start is where you got to start. And there's no telling where you'll end up. No telling. I didn't get done with mine until I was 38. And then I just prayed, got on my knees, Lord, I got it all done. I hope I'm done. I like continued education, but I got enough diplomas to patch a roof here. Say this together. Help. All right, Lord, seal these words in our heart and be encouraged. Let's worship together. Pastor Gary will come up and open up the lines. Well, we don't need to do that. I'll just open up the lines. Number one thing here is get rid of fear today. And don't let anything hold you back. And it is not too late. It is not too late. Hello? I'd go see my grandma. She was 99 and a half. She'd say to me, I make more money every day than I spend. She said, I haven't lived on any of my interest money. Some of you need to be grabbing hold of some of this. I'm 99 and a half. I'm making more money every day than I spend. Grab that. I'm not even spending any of my interest money. Grab that. Okay, well, while everybody's got their happy pants on, some of you need to think different. That's a whole lot different. My grandma never, not one time when I went to see her. When I go see her, first thing I do is lay on the floor and take a nap. Well, I get a glass of tea and lay on the floor and take a nap. My wife said, why do you always go there and take a nap? I said, because I'm tired. I finally get there and I get to lay down and sleep. My grandma likes for me to sleep. I get up, she tells me stories. She's waiting on me like a cat on a mouse. She starts telling me stories. I never heard my grandma say to me one time what I hear preachers all over America tell me. You want to know what that is? Pastors, leaders. Can you tell I'm getting fired up a little? If I was at the hardware store, it'd be time to go. My grandma never said this to me. I'm worried they're going to quit doing Social Security. What if I don't get my check? She could have cared less if she didn't get her Social Security check. That was the smallest peanut bag in the whole building. I better be hearing some amens on this. Hello? Let's say this together. Time to change my thinking. Most people get old. Well, I hope my retirement check will pay my rent. Rent? Oops. All right, let's do some trading. That's what this altar is about, trading. Fear for faith and grab hold of a vision and move towards it. Well, praise the Lord, I've talked too long now, but I've been having fun. I hope you're either blessed, healed, or miserable enough to run one direction or the other. And the best way to run is straight to the Lord. Amen? All right. God bless you. We love you. See you on Wednesday night. Come on up for prayer. Pastor Gary's here.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message.
For more information on our available resources and conference information, and to hear more teaching from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at whcc.net. You may also contribute there to the ministries of Whitehorse Christian Center. Thank you, and have a blessed day.